2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And my intention today is to kind of continue where we left off in this passage after verse 2. But before we start there, I just wanted to take the time to thank you all for opening your doors to me. I've had a wonderful 2 weeks being able to participate in VBS and to help out there. You've all given me a very warm welcome and been kind enough to just even talk to me on my way out. It's been great. And again, if I haven't met you, please come and see me. I want to meet you before I leave you. So, reading in 2 Peter chapter 3, our goal is to get through verses 3 through 7. We'll see how far we get. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is he? And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water, and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved under fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So last week we talked about, in the first 2 verses, we talked about how Peter admonishes the Christians reading this epistle that they would remember the words of the holy prophets and of the apostles, and that they would always be looking to the coming of the Lord and the return of the day of the Lord, and when God would take them up and would issue the 7-year judgment that is to follow. And in verses 3 through 7, he gives a specific reason as to why it is so important that the Christians today remember the promises and the Word of God. And the fact is that there are people who do not believe it. There are people who not only deny the fact that God exists or that He's even coming back, but that they deny that He created the earth. They deny so many of His different truths and promises, and basically, they deny everything the Word of God has to say. There are people out there, even those that profess in somehow, shape, or form to be orthodox. They claim that God didn't truly do everything through the Bible, that the true Word of God isn't completely inerrant and infallible. They deny the fact that this is straight from the mouth of God and that God's Word cannot and will not fail. And so Peter here at the beginning addresses the need to remember the words and promises of God as written by the apostles and the prophets. And again, he addresses the first reason. There is opposition. Throughout the testimony and the life of Christ, he instructed his disciples many times and told them that there would be opposition to their work. That there would be people that not only said what they were come to preach about wasn't true, but that they would even go as far as to try and kill them, and that they would hate them. This is a very common theme found inside the rest of the Bible as well. We see here Peter addresses those that deny the fact that the Lord is coming and that judgment is coming and that there is a limited time. And here they say, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. So even if they do believe, in fact, that God created the whole earth, they think He's no longer here. I mean, we think of the movements such as the God is Dead movements. I mean, so many evolutionists, today come up with crazy fictional stories that even though God created Earth and the way through evolution, He's no longer with us. He's dead. We see this is not a new teaching, a new doctrine, or whatever you want to call that. But we see here that there is such a thing, and Jesus taught that there is such a thing, and here Peter and the rest of the apostles also teach that there are people out there that deny the Word of God and the promises of God. And in John chapter 18, we're not going to turn there tonight, but Jesus gives the ultimate reason on why there are such people and why people deny the fact that Jesus is God and that what He says will come to pass, will in fact come to pass. And that's because they believe not in the Father. It says they believe not in the one who sent Him. And the truth of the matter is, when one has not accepted the gift of Jesus Christ, they will not truly believe that the Word of God is infallible and believe all of the words and promises and truths that are found in this precious book. But here Peter lists a specific group of people that deny the word of God. He lists the scoffers. The Greek word translated scoffers here is used twice in the New Testament. Once it is translated as scoffers here, and the other time is in Jude, where it is translated mockers. So the picture given here with these particular group of people is that they not only do not believe that the promises of God are not coming true, but that they mock and that they laugh at the truths and the fact that people believe that God is in fact coming with judgment and that they take God at His word. And these people aren't just uniquely mentioned in the New Testament as well. We have several accounts in the Old Testament of those that laughed at the patriarchs and said that they were loony, they were crazy, that what they believed would not truly come to pass. And we see one of the most amount of times that this group of people are mentioned is in the book of Proverbs. And I would ask you to turn to Proverbs 9, verse 7. Reading in verse 7, it says, "He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee." So here we see that this group of people, this type of person, the scoffers, mentioned, we can see a bunch of characteristics in some of these passages in Proverbs that tell us a little bit about this group of people. And oftentimes the scoffer is contrasted with the wise man. And the first way that the scoffer is different from the wise man or the one that believes in Jesus Christ is the fact that he does not accept correction. In fact, not only does he not receive correction well, he ultimately hates it. And while this is consistent with the other types of fools mentioned in the book of Proverbs, what sets the scoffer apart is the fact on how much he truly hates to be told that he is wrong and that he needs to change. I think we can see here in these two verses that the scoffer will hate the one that's correcting him. It says, "Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee." The scorner, the scoffer, whether it be he receiving correction from an authority figure or from a peer, he will eventually come to hate that person if they try to correct him. And not only that, the scoffer will seek to bring shame to the one who is correcting him. This implies that the scoffer has malicious intent to the one that is correcting him and giving him the beautiful words found in the Word of God and the promises of God. Please turn with me to Proverbs 14:6, and we can see another characteristic of the scoffer. Reading in verse 6, "A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth." So here we see that the scoffer has the capacity to seek out wisdom, but will not find it. It says here that the scorner will seek out wisdom. I believe this implies that the scoffer does not lack the intelligence necessary to look into the scriptures and see the word of God. He does not lack the mental capacity to be able to search out God as some we could say do. I mean, it's not my intent to get into the argument of the age of accountability and whether or not there are people who truly don't understand the gospel. But we see that this does not in any way or shape or form imply to the scoffer. He has the ability to find wisdom, to search out wisdom. But what does our proverb say? It says, he findeth it not. He won't find it. And I believe what this is saying is that he is so pig-headed in his ways that he does not see that he has a need to change his ways. He will not seek after God because he refuses to admit that God exists as so did the other fools, as this would mean that he would be wrong and in need of salvation from the coming judgment of God. Please turn to Proverbs 21:24. Bible says, "Proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath." So here we see that the scorner or the scoffer is proud and haughty, and this makes him angry and wrathful to anyone who would tell him otherwise. That would tell him that he is in need of a Savior. That will only make him angry and wrathful, as we've seen in other verses as well. And I think if we think about any times that we've witnessed to somebody, I think it's for anybody that has witnessed for any length of time knows somebody like this, whether they be agnostic or atheistic. We unfortunately all at some point will probably meet somebody who denies the fact that God is there. And not only does he deny the fact that God exists, he also is not just contented to agree to disagree, but he often becomes verbally and sometimes physically violent to the one who is telling him that he is wrong. And I think once again that we see, I think we all know that when I was talking to a friend this week and how said how he was trying to witness to a guy at work and he wasn't just content to say, I really don't want to hear this anymore. He wants to sit there, he wants to argue. And it got to the point to where he began to throw things at my friend. This person was fired, but it's unfortunately not a common occasion. There are people who not only will just not only disagree and deny the fact that God exists, but they are abusive and they come to the point to where they hate. But ultimately we see that the scoffer does not go unnoticed by God. Please turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Reading in verse 33 and 34. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. So here we can see that God has a punishment for all the fools mentioned in Proverbs, for all the wicked, and this also includes the scoffer. Please turn to Proverbs chapter 19. Looking at verse 29, judgments are prepared for scorners and stripes for the back of fools. So there is a judgment included for the scoffer. And the first one that we can see back in Proverbs chapter 3, we see that God will eventually scorn the scorner. We can read throughout Proverbs, and I believe it's in Galatians, I probably should have looked that up, that what a man soweth, he also reaps. And this includes the scoffer and the scorner. Eventually, if the scorner does not repent from his ways and does not turn to God, the Lord will scorn him, as we see in verses 33 and 34. Excuse me, in verse 34. You see that the scorner will be repaid for his sins if he does not repent. And as we turn back to 2 Peter chapter 3, we see that the Lord is storing up punishment for the scoffers. For the scoffers that live in our day and back in Peter's day as well. Let's reread verses 5 through 7. Peter says, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the judgment and perdition of ungodly men." So here we can see that Peter gives an example back in the Old Testament of the scoffers in Noah's day. Please turn to Genesis chapter 3. I think it's 7. Yes. Reading in verse 21. It says, "And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of every cattle and of beast, and upon every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land died. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were within the ark." So as you turn back to 2 Peter chapter 3, we can see that just as God judged the scoffers and the scorners and those that denied the fact that there was a coming judgment, says received the judgment of the waters and were eventually caught up in their own scorning and received the punishment for this. We see that the same is for anyone today including the scoffers that deny Christ, that deny that he is indeed coming back. So what does this mean for the Christian today? Please turn, if you would, please, to Jude. I believe we'll see more instructions on how the Christian is to react to these scoffers and those that deny Christ today. When we compare the scriptures found in this chapter, in this book, in the answers back in 2 Peter chapter 3, we can find a few answers to this question. It says, let's pick up in Jude verse 17, and we'll read through verse 21. Jude says, "But beloved, remember ye the words that which were spoken of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." So here Jude gives us advice that we can compare with Peter. And the first advice and instruction that he gives can be found in verse 17. He says, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." So this is the same advice that Peter gives that we spoke about last week. And like Jesus and Peter said, there will be scoffers and mockers who deny who are scoffers because they are not of the Spirit and they know not of the faith. So we are supposed to remember the words of the apostles. That is the first instruction that he gives to counteract the teachings and the denial of the scoffers. We need to be constantly remembering the words of the apostles. And the next instruction that he gives, he says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith." We are to be building up our most holy faith. I think we could do a whole message on this alone. But how are we to build up our faith? Please turn to Romans 10:17. And here he says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So how do we build up our faith? How does Paul here instruct us to build up our faith like Jude instructs us to? He says we build it by hearing and heeding and studying the word of God. The Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." And the only way that we are to build up our faith as instructed by Jude in his only chapter, that we are supposed to be, when we compare that with the chapter in Romans, that we are supposed to be constantly looking and studying the word of God so that we can build up our faith and that we've do not fall underneath the trap of the scoffers that deny the promises of God. Looking back at Jude, we see in the second part of verse 20 that we are to be praying in the Holy Ghost, and that we need to be followed. We need to follow the example, like Daniel, who prayed three times a day, and when those that hated him and denied and were not believers in how they hated him, what did Daniel do? Even though it was instructed of him not to do so, he prayed. Our instruction is to be the same. And we are to heed the example of Joshua when Joshua failed to pray and seek the will of the Lord. That is how we are supposed to always seek the will of the Lord, especially when it comes to the scoffers of today. We need to be seeking the will of the Lord when it comes to handling and witnessing to the scoffers that deny Christ. The next thing I believe we can find is in verse 21. "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Ultimately, we need to be praying for the love of God upon these scoffers. And we need to be praying, just like the rest of the world, that God would save these people. We need to be praying to God that they would seek the Lord and that they would one day be saved. For as we read in earlier passages, that any man that dies without Christ and without believing in who he is will face the judgment to come. And I think the last thing that we need to realize through these passages is that we need to realize ultimately that God is in control and not us. What is the instruction that Jude gives? He says, keep looking. He says, look unto God and unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And nowhere does it imply that we are in any bit in control of the situation. If I were maybe to have another message to preach, we would, I think, spend some time back in 2 Peter, and it talks about how the Lord is in control of time and not us. God is in control of every situation. He's in control of the judgment. He knows when they have come to pass. No man knows the time, but God does. And He is in ultimate control. So that's my challenge to you tonight, that you remember that God is in control, that you be praying, that you be looking, and that you be praying for the salvation of those that deny the gospel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. We do thank you for this time that we spend in your word, dear Lord. We would ask that we would ultimately be looking to you, dear Lord, especially when we are witnessing to others, dear Lord. We would ask, we know that you are willing that no man should perish, but that all should come to repentance, dear Lord. And we would ask that you would use us, dear Lord, to witness to others so that they may one day come to you, dear Lord. And in your holy and precious name we pray. Amen.